Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Carlos Whitaker.
By the way, this is we've officially begun, Carlos.
Oh, okay. So, awesome.
Yeah, I just want to give you a heads up. So you
I would love the click track the entire time.
Oh, okay.
Though.
Let's get it back on. Let's
see so, how it feels. What I would like to
listen,
talk
Carlos,
is about
you
is
to you. Tell us about yes. how you're doing today.
So good.
What's fun is that the people can't hear that.
Oh, they
like, oh, they've lost their mind. They're all collectively crazy, and I don't trust or like them anymore. So, everybody, we have you hear the dulcet tones, and you immediately know. Everybody hears the like. Is that Los Witt?
Oh, come on.
They just hear you and they think, that's
come
him.
On.
He feels safe. It's like a verbal hug.
I'm a safe place.
You
buddy.
Are a safe place.
It's okay.
Carlos, I just want you to know
yeah.
that I was planning on using my laptop, but
yeah.
I'm on low battery now, and so I will have my phone in my hand.
Oh, quite all right.
I'm not texting.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
No,
I'm
you
on the notes app.
Oh, wow. You're on the notes app.
Listen, this is a... I don't want to keep saying this during the thing. This is a very professional situation.
Yes.
And so you'll find, one, just don't be intimidated, candidly. And
okay,
then two,
cool.
You know, just feel at home.
Yeah, I do. I'm actually also, just so everybody knows, like I'm taking in everything. Because obviously when you step into a studio or something, like you put all this stuff up for a reason. So I like to look at things
yeah.
and, you know, and just be like, wow, like this
yeah.
is... This is good.
Dave has a plethora
yeah.
of stuff.
There's a lot of reasons in here right now.
You put this up for a reason. And there's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of reasons.
Right
it's good.
I'm in. It is, yeah. I mean,
it.
You know, we're in my studio. We're doing the
it.
Thing. It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It does help, I find, especially with people. Like, I remember we had Chris Kirkpatrick on from NSYNC, who's great, but, you know, doesn't know us from Adam.
Right.
It
Did
helped.
He come here?
Yeah. And it helped because he lives in town.
Yeah.
But it helped because he walked in and I could see him be like, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
Like,
okay. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
well,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
also interesting because we're in here all the time.
Yeah.
And so he's pointing stuff out. He's like, he talked about that that picture frame right there.
Oh, really?
And it's like, we don't even see this stuff
sure.
anymore.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Oh, yeah. Because you've been in here so often.
John
yeah.
can't stand my family. So he was like, he avoids looking at anything.
I don't look at any of the pictures. I barely make eye contact with Dave.
He's like, I mean, he has been dead
man.
To me. Okay, so we do what we start with like a little info, you know.
Okay,
just,
yeah.
We're just telling
yeah.
them about you.
Yeah, it's great.
That's what, you know, it's like a little bit of a brag sheet.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, I have to give – you may win you may win a first here.
Uh-oh.
We did – because we do our spelunking and we find like, okay, what are the things? You are going to probably be the most humble person here because you have so much to brag about, but nothing I can find does it.
No, I don't like to – I don't like people to even know any of that stuff.
Yeah, have you scrubbed the internet?
It really is impressive.
Yeah.
Because I did all my little tricks.
Oh, you
I was
did?
Like, I know how to find it.
Yeah.
Right there.
I was reading like old interviews from 2010.
Oh, yeah, bro. That,
trying to
that
get
was
some
like,
stuff together.
That was like, people don't even, here's how much I've scrubbed the internet. People don't even know that was a part of my life. That people don't even know that they're like, they'll Google me and they're like, I found a photo of you with a deep V-neck and a rosary and a guitar. Were you a worship leader?
Yeah.
Like, were you a, like, people have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I am like.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, it's
I need to
impressive.
Hire you to script some stuff.
I was going
to
say, yeah, you
past.
Need to have a little, you need to have a little side hustle.
Yeah, yeah,
you
let's
could,
go.
You could bless a lot of people's lives
that's
from bad
amazing.
Decisions. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to read what you have on your site.
Oh, okay, sure.
Here we go, because that's literally all I could find.
Good.
You humble pie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carlos Whitaker is bringing hope to humans all over the world, and he's pretty good at it. He's an author. See, watch what I did here, though. I added the books because you wouldn't.
Oh, you're right.
How to Human, Kill the Spider, Enter Wild, and Moment Maker.
Good job.
And podcaster, Human Hope.
A Human Hope.
And global speaker backed by the power of a massive Insta-familia, which
yes.
we know about. We're
yes.
talking about. His
talk
enthusiastic
about
social followers who tune in daily to join forces with Carlos to and Carlos, I've made some.
Sure, sure. A little copy and paste.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I got to it. Do good and be in community. Yeah,
we
yeah,
do
yeah.
research. We don't proofread.
All right, yeah, no, yeah. that's totally
Listen,
it.
We pay other people to proofread. Right, we right. copy and paste, and then we say,
we just
you tell us
can't get a hold of yes. them.
When Carlos enters a room, he makes people feel seen. That's true. His superpower is creating spaces online and in person where people are safe to engage in conversation about the topics that matter most but are often avoided. His motto, don't stand on issues, walk with people.
Uh-huh. That's it.
That's the professional stuff, but hey, all day, every day, here we go. He's okay. a family man.
That's right.
He mm-hmm. and his wife, Heather, live in Nashville, Tennessee, when uh-huh. they're not vacationing in the south of France. three amazing children where you can find them working on the family farm, planning trips around the world, which he just did.
Yes.
And dancing to Single Ladies. Seriously, Google it, which is true. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So the first thing.
Okay.
First
wow.
thing.
Wow. I've actually not had someone read that back to me.
Well, that's kind of, it's sort of one of the things we do is like, how do you feel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one, how do you feel not, like John said, it's really fascinating that you've, it's really honorable that you've just been like, I'm not going to be the guy that sort of has like all the flexes everywhere.
Yeah. I there's probably something I can pull out in therapy about it or something.
Yeah.
Like there's just, I just have seen too much of the flexes. And that for me, I just feel like a man of the people. Like, I always just want to be a man of the people. Like I just got done going on tour for my first tour ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a headliner, speaker, like, Annie and I went
you
out.
You and Annie, F Downs.
Yeah, Annie and I. And so, I had such a hard time with the entire concept of everything that happened on that tour.
Okay, I'm so fascinated to hear your experience, because we do this kind of stuff all the time.
Yes, I built this Insta Familia thing, right? Where I'm like, I travel around doing mostly corporate things now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, I'm in Philly. It's 8 p.m. Any Insta Familia want to get a beer at 11 at this bar? And like 30 people show up. Jeez. And we have beers and have fun. And so I called these Insta Familia meetups, and I do them all the time. And then suddenly, you know, now I've got, I have management now, and I have, like, you know, things are growing in the career. And I'm having such a hard time with, like, wait, I'm gonna ask people to pay money to hang out with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, nothing about that makes sense about who I am and my platform, and, you know. And so I'm having to, like, battle this every, like, the first night of tour. So, you know, I mean, we had like 500, maybe 600 people this first night. You know, I had this, people are buying VIP tickets to hang out with me, and I'm like, what is this? This feels so bad. So before the show, I just, you know, I take my daughter with me. She's running my merch, and people are coming in. So I walk out, and I start hanging out with people in the lobby. I'm like, hey, and they're like, oh my gosh. And, you know, talking, hanging selfies. And my daughter comes running out. She's like, Dad, you can't do this.
These are the common folk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't do this.
Like, I'm wanting this scene to be as ironic as possible with all the VIP people already inside.
Yeah,
you're outside with all the people who are just waiting.
And again,
they've already been briefed too. And, like, don't look at him in the eyes. Yeah. Do not mention his V-neck or the rosary. He's
going to
go crazy.
The V-neck or the rosary. So, like, I get reprimanded by a few people. Reprimand is a strong word.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, hey, listen, like, I know, like, that's what you're used to. You just can't do that. People have paid extra money to see you, like, and hang out with you. And I'm like, oh, gross. Right. And so, like, I just, this all goes back to your question of, like, why am I the way I am? I just feel like I've built this thing where I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And so it's, I'm having to learn how to, okay, I'm still, how to still be one of them, yet knowing that they would like more. And if they want more, then there's things. And so, it's just, last story about this, same idea. So, little flex here. I was on Good Morning America last Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And so, literally flew home from the south of France, straight to New York on Good Morning America.
Jeez.
I'm supposed to be at the studio at 7:45. I know that they're shooting. They start shooting super early. And my hotel is really close to the studio. So, I'd woken up early. I was jet lagged. So, I was like, babe, I'm going to go get some coffee. Do you want some in the hotel? She's like, yeah, go get me some. So, I go and I can see the little studio, that little ticker on the Times Square. I was like, I'm just going to walk over there. So I walk over there, and I'm just kind of watching, like, hanging out with everyone outside, like, looking at George Stephanopoulos, trying to, like, see. And I'm like, this is fun. And a security guard walks up to me. She goes, Mr. Whitaker? And I was like, yeah. She's like, what you doing out here? Like, aren't you going to be on today? Because apparently, obviously, she saw my face in her briefing in the morning. She's like, she literally said, because there's a bunch of homeless people out here. She goes, why are you out here with all these nasty people? And I go, I like being with the people. Like I'm just like, you know. So I guess I don't have, I don't even have a concept of not, of a green room and entourage and like just all those things that I don't know how to do. I don't necessarily know if I ever want to do it, but I can't I can't get away from that. Yeah, so I think, but I think that's why what I do works. And I think that's why the, and we'll talk about it later, but the Insta Familia is what it is, because they all feel like we're just homies.
You know? Yeah.
Anyway, that was a longer answer.
No,
than
that's
maybe
good.
I think that's great. And it's definitely genuine. You couldn't pull off what you're doing with the relationship that you have with your Insta Familia and just people in general if it weren't genuine.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Like, so well, I love it.
I want to say one little side note because I don't want us to blow by it. While I was doing my copious amount of research for you, I did find a quote amongst many other things, but this one really stood out, and it is, quote,
okay,
information about his eye and hair color, which, first off, let me preface this by saying right before this, they had your height and weight.
Where?
So I think this is so hilarious that they have your height and weight, but then they go on to say, information about his eye and hair color is not publicly known.
Wow. What website
on the other
is this?
Hand, he looks quite smart, intelligent, and appealing. But I'm like,
that's mind-blowing.
But the eye and hair color, it's just out there.
Yeah.
Like, ironically, there are like five pictures of you
there
right
are,
above this
right
quote.
Above the quote.
This feels like an AI response. Like somebody typed something in and was like, "We can't find it."
Yes.
His name makes him sound appealing. He
Carlos.
Regal.
Okay, but speaking of your Insta Familia and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I think that I really like about you. I think this is one of your most likable traits.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Is that you are involved. You're out on the street. You're involved in people's lives. Like I heard you speak down the road at the Fisher Center at the Porter's Call
evening
thing.
Stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And there you showed this video of, I want to say you were in an airport.
Yep.
And there was a guy who was
with
playing
the piano.
Piano.
Guy.
Yeah, Tony the piano guy.
Okay, so give just the summary of that situation.
Yeah. I was on my way home from something. A gig got canceled. I remember being like bummed, and I was like, well, you know, this was COVID-ish era, and I'm like, well, I lost some money. Like, what am I gonna do? And so I'm on my way home to Nashville, Atlanta Airport, Terminal A, super long escalator. You go up there. Right then, you see a Chick-fil-A in that food court. There's a pizzeria. Kind of wine bar, and then there's like a piano guy playing, and he's always there. And so I go get some Chick-fil-A, and I am listening to the piano guy, and I kind of turn and realize nobody's paying attention to him. So, you know, just kind of being who I am, I was like, well, I'm just going to go sit as close as I can and enjoy this concert. And so I pull up a chair, maybe awkwardly a little too close,
right.
But I pull up a chair, and I just kind of start like watching him bounce my head, and he's kind of looking at me and then looking back at his piano and then looking at me, and he finally stops playing and goes, man, what you doing? And I was like, oh,
like, why are you
paying attention? And I was like, oh, dude, like, this is amazing. You're so good. I just wanted you to see that, like, I see you.
Yeah.
And, man, he stops playing and just is like, tell me about you. And we start kind of forming, you know, this conversation, and I find out about his life, and he's on dialysis every night. He just seemed like the kindest, coolest guy. So anyway, he goes back to playing, and I'm eating my Chick-fil-A, and I had the thought, I wonder if I could give him a big tip. And I remember I had like, I don't know, like $80 in my pocket, and I was like, I'm about to blow his mind. I'm about to really. So I was like, hey, Tony, man, what's the biggest tip you've ever gotten? Again, he had $15 in his tip jar at the time. He's like, $400. And I was
like,
oh, crap.
You just back up and leave.
I'm like, okay, well, that didn't work. But that was the moment when I thought, wait a second. I have the freaking Insta Familia. Yeah. I've got them right here in the palm of my hand. Let me start live stream. I've got 30 minutes before my flight. So I started Insta-living him, whatever that verb is, and said, hey, I got 30 minutes before my flight. How big of a tip could we give him? So in 30 minutes, we raised $10,000.
Good night.
And I stopped him. I said, hey, Tony, I got to leave in a few minutes, but I just need to let you know. Like, what was the biggest tip you've ever gotten or whatever? I was like, well, I'm about to deposit $10,000 into your Venmo account or whatever. And he's like, I mean, you can see his face on the video.
Yeah.
He is shocked.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And I was like, there's a lot of people watching on Instagram. They're called the Insta Familia. And he's like, who? Like, again, he had no concept as what was happening.
Right.
I left that up because the story expires in 24 hours, so I just left it up. And by the end of 24 hours, it was $78,000 that we gave him, a $78,000 tip.
Holy guacamole. That is unbelievable.
And it, you know, like, it obviously changed his life.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, Tony and I became like another dad to me. My dad has dementia. Like, I'm in this kind of process of grieving with my own father, and suddenly I'm gifted this other man my dad's age that just is everything to me. And we just became really close. And I got to make a really to put a bow on this story, and why I feel like this stuff is important, is it's never – there's a lot of accounts out there that are like, give money to homeless people or whatever. But I like to remind my people that it's not – that's just the beginning of whatever this relationship or whatever this moment is. It has to keep going. So I, with all the money we've raised, I've tried to stay in relationship with these people.
Yeah.
Tony and I continued, you know, I'm giving him Instagram lessons. He's like, I want to be part of the Instafamilia. So I installed Instagram on his phone. I see him all the time in the airport. His kidney disease is getting worse. He's getting sicker a year later. Now it's 2022, April. And I go to visit him in the airport. He's not there. I call his wife. She's like, oh, he hasn't been at the airport in a month. So I see him at home. He's pretty sick. I have a speaking gig at Gwinnett Center Arena in front of 8,000 people coming up maybe 3 weeks from then. And I was like, I'm gonna share the story like I did at Porter's Call. Mm-hmm. But what if Tony walks out on stage at the end of it and plays? And so Tony's only played in the airport and a couple of piano bars. So I invited, I was like, dude, not what's the biggest tip, what's the biggest crowd you ever played in front of? He's like, 400 people. And I was like, I want you to play us out of my talk. So, bro, the video footage, this is amazing. He comes, at this point, he's really sick. He's in a wheelchair, but he comes out on stage at the end of my talk, and I play the video, and I was like, anyway, you got to give to people, yada, yada. Get people are excited about the video. But I was like, what better way to end this than Tony? And Tony walks out. The place goes nuts. 8,000 people screaming. And he actually asks me before, he's like, well, what song do you want me to play? Because he's, you know, cover song guy. And I was like, I don't know. What do you play for 8,000 people? He goes, well, they white or they black?
Oh, my God.
Literally. And I go, oh, they're white. He goes, oh, it's one song. I was like, what song? I want to ask you guys.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
No, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. What would Tony, my black friend, say he knows what the white anthem of 8,000 people in an arena singing,
everyone's gonna
know the word.
My mind first goes to Sweet Caroline.
That's it. That is it. He goes, Sweet Caroline. So he comes out there, da da da, and the place starts singing with him. He is singing. I'm up there with my mic, going back to 2010 with my rosary and deep V, and I got my microphone hanging out of them. He is singing. He's weeping.
Yeah.
Crying.
What a moment.
And he told me, he goes, this was way more impactful than any of the money that I ever got. He passed away a month later.
Jeez Louise.
And
what a gift.
And I'm just telling you that's it. That's what it's about, right? Like it's the totality of what of the experience. And so, you know, I try to, and because I've raised a lot of money, you know, I get emails all the time and needs, and I, you know, think needs are very important and stuff. But for me, it's always just been about, as I'm stumbling around life, like, I just know. I know when it's like, oh, no, this person or whatever. So.
Free bacon from Butcher Box. Free bacon from Butcher Box. Free bacon from Butcher Box.
Dave, wake up.
Yes. No, wait. No, John, please. Was it a dream? Please tell me it wasn't a dream.
Free bacon from Butcher Box?
Yes.
Dave, I had the same dream. And guess what?
What?
It's real.
The thing is, John, Butcher Box is so great. I don't even need the free bacon for a year. Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, just give him a call.
No, John. I'm still going to take the free bacon. Look, you never look free bacon in the eye and say no. Okay, that's the third thing my uncle taught me on the baseball diamond. I just meant that after I made those four top sirloin steaks last night. You hear me? Four, John. That's one person in my family didn't get one because we want to create a little bit of competition, okay? I don't really need any more convincing to have Butcher Box box shipped right to my door.
Same here, Dave. Same here. I certainly have no beef with the benefits of ButcherBox. You see what I do? It's Tuesday. Hey, it beats the prices at the grocery store, and it's high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust, yeah, humanely trust raised with no antibiotics or added hormones.
And it's delivered free, John, right to your doorstep again. We don't have them throwing it in the neighbor's
yard. They don't leave it in the yard.
Not in the backyard. They would just chuck it over your back fence to see what happens, okay? And box plans are customizable in both size and frequency, John.
Okay, well, let me add to this, right?
Okay, please.
A variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value, plus exclusive member deals, recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks. Now, Dave, it's time to tell them about the free bacon. Go.
With pleasure, John. ButcherBox is giving us a special deal. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dadville and use code DADVILLE to get 2 packs of bacon free for a year, plus $20 off your first
order. That's amazing. That's butcherbox.com/dadville and use the code DADVILLE to claim this deal.
Oh, man, John, I felt so bad for him. Just sitting there in that chair, leaning to the side. He was so nauseous. I thought he was going to be sick at any moment, and then, boom, it happened right on the plant.
I know. It was so bad.
It was that moment I thought, I wish I could have helped him. And then you told me about today's sponsor, John.
Yeah, see, that's right. That would have helped him. Dadville is sponsored by Relief Band. Have you ever had to pull over because someone in the car was sick? Dave, you do this just on your way to the gas station. Or maybe someone in your family had to miss school or work because they were nauseous.
If that sounds familiar, and it does to me, John, because 4 out of 5 of the Barnes family are car sick at a significant level, you need a Relief Band. Relief Band is the #1 FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more.
I love Relief Band because whenever one of the girls starts to get a little car sick, which is crazy because I'm such a great driver, but anyway, we give them the Relief Band and the nausea, boom,
gone.
It goes away. It makes that sound.
They
feel so much better, and we don't take a road trip without it.
Yeah.
And we always have it ready to go at home, too.
In case that wasn't clear, Relief Band is legitimately a band you wear on your wrist to give you relief from nausea and uses technology that works with your body. So it's safe, drug-free, and has zero side effects. It's that simple.
Plus, Relief Band both treats and prevents nausea, so you can help stop nausea from becoming a problem in the first place. It's a must-have for every road trip.
So if you always have a flashlight on hand for a blackout or a first aid kit on hand for emergencies, then you need a Relief Band for those unexpected nausea moments. Right now, we've got an exclusive offer just for Dadville listeners.
Can I tell them about it?
Please do.
Okay. If you go to reliefband.com and use the promo code Dadville, you will receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code Dadville for 20% off plus free shipping. So you have all these situations like that, all these amazing connections and how you're bringing all your familia in to be a part of these things. But having a big following as you do, as we all know, like you, that's a double-edged sword.
Sure.
Like you're seeing the potential for really beautiful things, and also you're kind of seeing the worst of people online. What is that relationship like, specifically being in the middle of that dichotomy all the time?
I feel built for it. I guess you know, I'm 49 and I feel like I've just at 48 figured out what I'm supposed to be doing.
Wow. Jeez.
So there's still time for us.
Yeah. You still have time. You can have a bunch of other things you care about up on your walls. You know, that mean things forever.
I got more walls.
You got more walls.
I got more walls.
So the thing is like, I feel like with everything that happened in 2020, all of the really crucial conversations that we're having in culture, and I guess I never knew that I was gifted to help people navigate difficult cultural conversations in a grace-filled way. And suddenly, like, that's the #1 thing I hear from people is, yes, I raise money, and that's one thing that I do. But the other thing I do is, you know, I talk about these hard things of racism and all these things, but I do it in a way that people feel safe enough, even if they disagree with me. And so suddenly I'm giving people words that they didn't know that they needed. And I get that a lot, like Carlos, like I just, once you said it the way you said it, I now have, don't stand on issues, walk with people. Whatever it may be, I now have words that I can use in my family, in my relationships. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that I am the kind of like my book, How to Human and Be Human, See Humans, Free Humans. And, you know, sometimes like people will call me like the Mr. Rogers for adults, you know, like mm-hmm. helping people like to see people that aren't like them. Mm-hmm. That still will bring up a lot of negative energy in people that are following me or people that aren't following me but see a reel being shared that want to jump into my comment sections. And what I try to do as much as I can is practice what I preach. And I mean, I got it yesterday. I put up a reel about how to have difficult conversations with people that you love or something. And somebody came in my comment section. They're like, "Rah, you're so arrogant," and this and that. So what I do is I just went to hit their profile, hit message, swiped up DMs, opened up my camera, and I shot them a 60-second video.
Wow.
They weren't expecting that from me. But every single person that comes at me in my DMs, I send them a video back where they can see my eyes.
Wow.
It's just so hard to hate somebody that you can see.
Yeah.
That's looking at you.
Yeah,
and
right.
Every single time they're, you know, they feel accosted, and then they're 9 times out of 10, they're like, I'm so sorry. That was my thumbs. I was... And it's always coming from a wound and a place of hurt. And man, all these people end up being like part of the Insta Familia. And it's because I just mm-hmm. take time to open my camera and let them see my eyes. And
that's great. Because I think it is the anonymity that brings out the worst.
Yes.
It's like road rage.
Oh, totally.
We're all in our cars. We're not face to face.
Oh, you're not face to face. You know, you finally catch up with the person that you're road raging, speeding behind. And it's a, 68-year-old grandma, and you're just like, oh, you know, and suddenly you see.
And then
see
you matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, they should be off the road.
They should know by now.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is they've had more life to learn that
Yeah,
lesson.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, to your question, I don't know. Like, I feel built for it right now.
Yeah.
Like, whatever the, you know, the narrative is that we're more divided than we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, that's just a narrative. We just have more access to other people's opinions than we've ever had.
I saw your post about that,
too.
Which, by the way, was – we laughed so hard because I was like, if I tried to do a post while I was running, literally people would send it to the emergency room and be like, you need to find wherever he is.
It looks like he's off of Belmont.
Like my eyes would be crossed. There'd be blood from my ears.
Yes, yes.
I'd be like quoting Elton John lyrics while I'm trying to make a point. Just be so confusing.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I produce those things, right? Like I put the camera down.
Yeah.
I run up to the camera.
Right.
But to the normal person watching, they're not even thinking that. They're like, oh, he must have a camera crew following him. I'm like, no. I set it down. I walked 100 feet away, and then I ran back by.
I would have loved for the family that you're running in front of to be like, honey, what is he doing?
This is it. That's my life all the time. I just don't care anymore. So I just
I've got
no shame.
But I mean, to your point, that video is.
Yeah.
I remember watching that and being like, what a great. That can't be said enough right now.
Yeah.
The truth of that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's easy to feel like, man, what are we doing?
Oh,
we're hopeless.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's end of days when it's like, well, no. It's just everybody's got a mic now. So
that's it.
We can hear it.
Yep.
And it's just now about engaging. That's such a beautiful way. We actually did a podcast earlier today, and we were talking about one of the ways that our day started was our producer sent us as a joke, like as a total joke. Somebody had commented on one of our YouTube, you know, we put Dadville on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you know, she had just left a really kind of mean, snarky comment. And we never look for those.
Oh,
like,
we
just avoid those like the plague.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, you know, kind of funny because he was like, how about this? But, you know, of course, with us, we're like, and, you know, to your point, like, that's exactly what we talked about, you know, as we were sitting down kind of recapping that is like, hopefully maturity gets you to a place where you realize this is a human.
Yep.
They probably are coming from somewhere where somebody hurt, you know, just
totally.
They've had a bad day or they're just, and then you can handle those things. And I'm the same as you. Like I've had some moments where somebody's either been with a show or, you know, just somebody's kind of like been out of shape. And when I engage with them in a very kind way, almost 100% of the time, I did a show. The most that's ever happened to me, I did a show in Denver probably a decade ago that was a stand-up show, so it wasn't music.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But and it was a part of a tour, but that one night, that venue had sort of put it up. They had put it up as a music show. And I'm telling you, 7 seconds into walking on stage, I could feel it.
Oh, no.
I could feel it as visceral as geez. I could the stage
I'm
under my feet.
I'm having a panic attack right now.
And I was like, something is not right. Mm-hmm. Like, cause, now, the good thing is everybody likes me. That's why they're there.
Yeah, sure.
But they were like, where, you know.
Where's the
And
the
I just plowed through the show. And I think by the grace of God, 90% of them were like, that was great either way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had some mean comments.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You duped us. And I all of them, I was like, hey, I sure. sent all of them the DMs back saying, hey, this is exactly what happened. The venue yeah. has owned it. There's, I would never try to do that. Let me know if you want your money back.
Right.
And 9 out of 10 said, uh-huh. dude, thanks for letting me know. I think yep. we were just confused and felt like it was a little dishonest. Knowing yep. that, it was still a great show.
Yeah.
Thanks. The only guy that got mad was the youth director.
Oh!
He was like, I want my money back.
He's like, give it back. Give me back, bro.
He's like, look, I'm a youth director.
Yeah.
This was
life
my,
is
my
already hard enough.
Hour break. This, and you stole it from
you
me.
You stole it? I did not want to laugh. No.
But okay. Yeah, but I think to your point, that's a very yeah. – I love how you handle that. And it actually yeah. makes me think about that with myself, if you know, if when then I was
– Yeah.
So you alluded to this earlier – how you are someone who speaks out on issues and you're not afraid. That's part of your thing.
Yep.
And you alluded to 2020 and all the race relations, all that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this feels like such a ridiculously big, small question,
sure.
whatever. But what is it like in your experience being yep. a person of color in yep. 2023 in America? What is it like? And is it, how does it differ from like, 2003,
yeah,
1993.
Yeah. Oh no, it's I think in 2023. Let me tell you how it differs from 2020. Before I go back to mm-hmm. you know how it differs in 2020, it felt like everybody wanted to be an ally.
Yeah.
In 2023, it feels like people feel safe enough and far away, removed enough from 2020. To where they not only don't want to be an ally anymore, but they can almost be a little bit more blatantly racist, to be
wow.
honest with you. Like it is, I'm shocked on a daily basis as to things that I'm reading and people that I love or know that follow voices that I see are saying things. I'm like, what the? Like, they would never have said that in 2020. They would never have said that in 1990.
Right.
But what gives people the gall now to be able to say something in 2023? Because maybe they feel, maybe there's something cultural that feels that, well, some of what we believed in 2020 about organizations or whatever, we were led astray by maybe what those organizations were really about. So now we feel a little bit more bravado and being able to say it louder, something we never would have said in 2020. So, I mean, I know that's kind of like dancing around. I don't want to get too into the weeds, but I do feel like in 2023 right now, it's just as big of an issue. Mm. And I feel like I'm maybe because I am a reconciler of relationships, and I felt like I was doing a lot of work in 2020. And I feel like a lot of the work that I did in 2020, well, for example, I mean, you know, let's just do it like DEI, like suddenly 2020, it's like I'm now speaking in corporations about diversity, about equity. I'm like, this is great. Like,
inclusion.
I think that everybody probably wants this. And it seemed like that in 2020. Yeah, we're all going to talk about this. And then suddenly now it's like, no, not only are we not going to have that in our organizations anymore, but we're going to like make it illegal to even talk about it. So it's like, it went even, see what I'm saying? Like it feels like mm-hmm. it's like gone even farther into like crazy town to where it's like, oh my gosh, I can't even now when I say in 2020, when I said, yeah, I'm teaching on diversity and equity to Nike Designer Summit, 100% of people would have been like, yeah, you know what? That's probably a good idea. We need to think about that.
Yeah.
I say that now. Oh, you're Marxist, you're woke, you're, you know, this, and I'm like, now people are using words like woke that were created by Black America in the 1800s to talk about, like, well, we have to stay awake to the systems of injustice and racism, and they're using that term as a insult to the very people that create, much more blatant these yeah. days. So I guess, you know, I could get super passionate about that, but I just feel like, man, my work is not even, the work is just beginning, you know?
He's John and he's the man on the scene.
And his friend's name is Dave.
Yeah,
hey, good. Dave.
Yeah, hey, John.
Do you ever wish you had visibly thicker hair? I mean, your hair is very visibly thick, but do you ever wish it were thicker? Or how about less shedding?
Okay, I hear that.
You and I both know that you have a problem with shedding. Or maybe stress is causing your hair to thin. Or maybe it's the other way around.
Okay, look, every one of those things, John, okay?
Okay.
Most days I picture myself on the cover of one of those romantic novels you could buy at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, with a shirt, like, unbuttoned.
Thick, flowing locks of hair gazing from the beach at the ocean, waves that are just crashing around my feet.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, that's normal, right? That's normal, right?
Maybe not, but with that dream in mind, I think you should try Nutrafol. Listen to me, Dave.
I'm listening.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve hair growth, visible thickness, and strength.
Hey, just went to Nutrafol.com while you were talking, and don't be offended by that.
Don't be offended by that.
To take their hair health wellness quiz, it helped me identify causes of my thinning hair, and it let me know that Nutrafol will give me a personalized plan for better hair health through whole body wellness.
And you know the best part, Dave?
Tell me, John.
The best part about Nutrafol is it works. Okay, in clinical studies, 72% of men saw more scalp coverage after taking Nutrafol's men's hair growth supplement for 6 months, and 86% of women saw improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol's women's hair growth supplement for 6 months.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code DADVILLE.
Find out why over 4,000 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code DADVILLE.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code DADVILLE. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
Hey.
Go Ninja, go
come on,
Ninja,
come on.
Go.
Yeah.
What's up, John?
Hey. Hey, Dave.
Lunchtime, John.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Did you ask what's up? I don't even care if you did, because I'm going to tell you what's up.
I did with my eyes.
Okay. You always do it with your eyes. It's lunchtime, Johnny. And guess what? Look what I brought. Just look what I brought.
Dude!
Yes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles lunch bag? Where did you find that?
Ninja Turtles. Simple Modern. You've probably seen their gear at Target, Walmart, and on Amazon, John.
I mean, I saw that 40-ounce Trek tumblers there.
Yep.
But I had no idea that they also have these sweet TMNT lunch bags. That's TMNT. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Look at you. Look at you. You're starting to know. Well, they do. And not only is there stuff in those stores, you can go to simplemodern.com/dadville and order directly from Simple Modern. They are the perfect brand for everything you need for back-to-school time. We call BTST.
That's right. That's
for TMNT.
Uh-huh. We don't have time to say
the whole word. So
listen, Dave, this stuff is awesome.
Yep.
Look, you can get backpacks, drinkware, lunch bags, and they have Disney, Marvel, NCAA, and NFL designs.
And
NFL, that's National Football League.
It is. And, John, maybe the best part is they give 10% of their profits to organizations committed to causes like solving the water crisis, fighting human trafficking, or helping underprivileged communities.
Okay, look at this. I just placed my order. I went with the Spider-Man Hadley lunch bag, okay, because I didn't want to steal your Ninja Turtle Thunder.
Yeah, Turtle Thunder was actually the name of my metal band in high school, but I digress. I knew you could do it, John, and I've always believed in you, except for a couple times in the past, but mostly I have believed in you. Go to www.simplemodern.com/dadville, and by sharing your email, you'll get a unique discount code just for you, or bundle and save for back to school. This should be your go-to brand for your family. Man,
Dave,
Louise. Yeah.
I want to give a shout out. Yeah. And when I give a shout out, I always laugh because it just brings me so much joy to give a shout out to Claritin.
Yes.
For supporting this episode and providing us with free samples.
You know it, John. This time of year, my allergies are in fuego. They're always on the attack, but I use this and you should too.
Oh, I do, Dave. Every day in our house.
Yeah.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
Designed for serious allergy sufferers, which is me raising my hand, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill to relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better.
This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure
with ease.
John, I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for a long time, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can go for a run without my eyes watering. I may be crying, but it's not
sure,
from allergies.
Totally different.
And I can sing without feeling like I have like a big old, let's say we call it a frog. It's like a toad.
It's like a family of toads.
It's a family. It's a turtle.
Yeah.
In my throat.
So you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies?
Yeah, me.
It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Do you think any of that has to do with, one, is there anything to, from your view, white people getting
easy,
sort of
John. Easy. Easy.
And I say that with all respect.
Yeah. Well, do you hear that? He is saying it safely to you. Okay?
I'm putting the headphone down. I need to take a walk. You can't say
I can
it.
Say. White people getting sort of fatigue.
Oh, sure.
And also, too, like, is there anything to it? And I'm not making any comment on, like, that we should feel fatigue or that we, whatever. Is there also anything, any sort of sense of, like, pendulum swinging and we're getting there, but we just got to...
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that the hood was pulled open on America in 2020. Mm. And everybody got to see something they've never seen before.
Yeah.
They saw this, like... Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think you can look at that for initially, and you can be like, yeah, this needs to get fixed.
Well, is it, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is it better said to say white people got to see something that was there all the time?
Absolutely.
We just weren't seeing.
Yeah, because everybody else is living under the hood.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone else is. Yeah. The what's under the hood was built for white people, you know, and so it's like, oh my gosh, like this is horrible. I want to look at this. But here's the thing. I've looked at, now we can go back to the 90s and the 80s that you were talking about. I've looked at systemic issues or racism, just blatant racism to me. Even when I moved to Nashville, like I've got all these stories of racism that have happened like in town. And when I've been fly fishing on the Caney Fork River and came back to my truck in 2017 saying, go home, N-word, you know, you're not welcome here. Like this is in Middle Tennessee. This is like, I loved the outdoors. I'm in the outdoor industry a lot and I see it a lot there. And so there's always, that's been me every day, right? That's what I have to live in. And suddenly what happened in 2020 is, yes, white people, I think, looked under the hood and they're like, oh, this is awful. Like, okay, like, what can we do? Let's do it. Let's do it. And I mean, I knew from Jump Street.
Yeah.
This isn't going to last. This isn't maintainable because if you haven't been in it and seeing it and experiencing it day after day after day, it's not maintainable to your worldview. And at some point they're going to put the hood back down. And at some point they're not going to want to look under the hood anymore. And so there was fatigue, a lot of fatigue. And honestly, I'm one of the people that was like, it's understandable. This is not maintainable if this isn't something that you're called to every, but I think it is maintainable if you just kind of, you don't feel like you have to go to a march every weekend.
Yeah.
Like what can you just do when you're in the small moments of
conversation? You need to feel some kind of, it's like with anything, like exercise or whatever. If you're not seeing some kind of small progress or something
Like
that,
it's hard
to sustain
it. You know, I think one of the small things that we've done with Annie and I, because that was a huge year for us.
Yeah.
I mean, with us and our friends who, you know.
Absolutely.
And very eye-opening. And I think at that point I was like, I feel like I know about that. And it was like that. I feel like, and by the grace of God, I sat down with all of my black friends and said, hey, can we talk about this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it literally felt like I was being read into a play that I was in that I didn't know I was in.
Right, right.
Like it was like, so you've enjoyed that. Can we show you what happens over here? And it was like, this has been here the whole time.
Uh-huh.
But I think, so it was very eye-opening. But I think one of the things that is so fascinating to me is like, you said that so well. It's like if you don't even have a passion for it. But one of the things that we've tried so much with our kids.
Yeah, yeah.
That Annie and I, it is one of the most important things we talk about.
Yes.
Is when we have moments where something happens and there's not fairness.
Yep.
Where there's a sense of like, why is that not like that for us or them or whatever?
Yeah.
We are on it. Yep. It is like, you need to understand something. Like, that is why this is like this. Uh-huh, and as white people, we have this ability to do some things that our black friends don't get to do as easily. Or it's just whatever that is, right?
Yeah,
whatever
that
is. But for us, I have been so thankful because I can see that they are starting to understand that better. and it's informing their worldview. And so it's, to your point, John, it's even like those little point, those little micro movements.
Yes.
And like you're saying, because I think the fatigue that I've seen, I'm white, I don't know. And one of the things that I have seen is that you can feel, I feel like with amongst some of the white community people, whatever, that I know, it does become, you see so much.
Yeah.
And your first thing is like, we got to make this right.
Right, right.
And then it doesn't get right.
Right.
And you go, well, I'm spending...
Where the problem is just way more complex way than more complex, you signed up for.
Sure. Yeah, and then you're like, I don't even know what to do about that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then also I think there's this real feeling of like, man, I feel really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really love feeling bad.
Right.
Oh, and I think totally. And I think maybe the biggest to me, you know, just from my side of the whole thing, as a white guy, I'm like, I do think that's why I think you have so much wisdom, what you're saying, and your wisdom to go, let me tell you how long this is going to last.
Yes.
Because it's like, no, let me tell you that who doesn't do well with those feelings is whoever the sort of like majority is.
Absolutely.
You know, they're not going to enjoy being told like, hey, even in the most gracious ways,
sure,
like, this just isn't going great. Or like, man, it'd just mean a lot more if you thought about us in a different way or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you could feel very much so like at a certain point, to your point, it not just sort of changed, it turned. Where it's like,
did.
That's enough.
Yep.
Like, hey, world, that's enough. That's
absolutely.
Enough. That's enough.
Absolutely.
Because
so good.
I don't like feeling bad.
Right.
And I'm really tired of feeling like bad. And especially, you know, when you think about like me or John or someone who's generations down.
Sure.
Going like, I didn't even know I was, am I doing something?
Yeah, totally.
And if I am doing something, I didn't even know I was doing it.
Uh-huh.
So now I feel doubly bad because I feel clueless to some oppression that I'm a part of that, you know, and so I think, to your point, it's fascinating to hear that you are wise enough and have been there long enough to read it, because I think a lot of people thought we can do it, and then again you sort of hit that point where you're like, oh god, I don't like feeling bad,
right?
I don't want to feel bad, so we put the hood down.
Yep.
And because you know we can keep on with our lives, we keep on our lives.
Totally.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I mean, when you really think about it, it was a lot. Like it was a lot of focus on race and a lot of focus, and then a lot of new conversations. And suddenly it's like, oh, wait a second. What, now I've got to be anti-racist as opposed to not racist. And what's the definition of that?
Yeah.
So like, I know that it is exhausting to lean in and, you know, and so like I am one of the voices that's like, I'm not expecting everybody to, you know, to like I said, march every weekend or to whatever, but like, I don't think that's how it's going to get fixed anyway.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's, with your kids and with your great grandparents, if they're still alive, or grandpa, hey, grandpa, you probably can't say that, you know, like just things like that, you know? And, I just think it's going to be in those micro moments that,
and you know, you know what it is. And this is not, there's a million ways that it gets better. But I think the thing that I have seen always be effective, it feels like, is when people actually befriend people of different colors.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Really become friends.
Yes.
Not just like, oh, we know her from whatever.
Right.
But a real sense of like, no, I feel a connectedness.
Yeah.
That's always the bridge for me to go. Isn't it crazy how that person who once didn't even know or may have felt strong feelings or didn't feel anything, suddenly is like, man, I've just never thought about your experience.
Yes, that's it.
Because I care about you, and now I want to be like, well, I don't want you to have that experience.
That is it. That goes back to my, you know, what I think you read it in the bio or something, where I say, don't stand on issues, walk with people.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't care about the issues. That doesn't mean you don't have an opinion on the issue. That doesn't mean that you're not passionate about your point of view of the issue. It just means that every issue has a person that is associated with that issue. And so go walk with that person that's really associated with the issue. Walk with them. Become friends with them. Hang out with them.
One of the things that moved me so much in that season was talking to my friends who had kids and hearing how I don't know that life, but hearing them say how common it was for them amongst all of my friends who were dads, how there's this thing you kind of pass down to your kids where you have to have, I mean, it sounded like akin to like the sex talk.
Yeah,
totally. You have the hey.
Yeah, the cop talk.
There we go.
Yep.
There we go.
Absolutely.
That blew my freaking mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, you have to. And they were like, I mean, it was like.
No. Dude, my dad had that talk to me in 1991. I mean, it was a very specific. And my dad is a black Panamanian, right? So he's an immigrant as a black man in this country. And I remember it was my junior year of high school. And I got my driver's license, and he literally, we had a conversation. Listen, son, this was in Atlanta, where he's just talking to me about, if I get pulled over, like you just keep your hands on the steering wheel, you da 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 da. And I'm like, this was in 1991, right? And so, Yeah, it's really
crazy. So what does that look like with your kids? What does it look like in 20, you know?
Yeah, you know, I love talking about this because my kids actually look like a Gap ad, right? Like I've got a black kid, a white kid, and a Korean kid, and it's like they're the United Colors of Benetton. And so, you know, only old people recognize that one.
I get it.
Careful with your words there, Carlos.
Yeah. Sorry.
Don't say old people.
We don't like to be called old. Right. Experienced. Right.
But yeah, you know, and so what I love about this conversation is like my son we adopted from Korea, right? We can't make a Korean kid, so we adopt him. He comes, and then we have our two daughters. Heather and I made them both. One came out darker than me. One came out whiter than Heather. They literally have different lived experiences.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, in the same town.
Jeez.
Like blood sisters. They have different experiences.
Yeah.
So we have to talk about that. We do talk about that. And I actually, I don't think I did a podcast. Maybe it was an Instagram thing where I talked to both of them about like, one of you identifies as white. One of you identifies
as
black. But you have the same mom
your
and dad.
Your sisters. Same mom and dad.
That is crazy.
And so, seeing that and I've been able to really see how one kid's experience is different than another's kid. And then I've got my Korean kid who, in the middle of all the 2020 stuff, like, you know, he doesn't look like any of us. Mm. And so suddenly, like, I hear from him, like, you know, this is hard for me. Like, I am, you know, as a Korean, especially in Nashville, there's not a big Asian community. And I mean, there's one here, but not like LA or places we've been. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just feel lonely that no one looks like me. Like, none of my friends, you know? And so, yeah, man, it is a constantly moving target of conversation. You know, I feel like as they get older, things are going to, the more experiences they're going to have and the more, you know, I it breaks my heart to know that my daughter is going to run across more racism, one of them than
one
the other.
One of them. God, that's crazy. You know? That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Last question though about this, because I kind of hesitate to.
Those are the best ones. Yeah. Whenever you say I kind of hesitate. Yeah.
I hesitate to ask it because I don't want to be like the white guy that's like, but it's better now, right?
Sure,
it's good. It's you know.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm like, as you're talking about your experience and talking about your kids, I'm like, well, we would all hope that it's 2023.
Yes.
Like when your daughter gets her license, or she has already.
Yeah,
like, hopefully it's at least better than it was.
Yes.
Do you have that sense? Or
yes. I would say yes. It's better than it was in 19.
You're going to get in your car and call your wife and be like, they asked the question. And I had to say it, honey. I could tell John had a tear in his eye. He was not going to sleep tonight.
That is the thing. We've said this before when we're having these kinds of conversations. I'm like, I'm just going to say the question.
Because no, it's good. It's
I'm going to take the chance that I'm going to be that guy. You know.
It is better, but you have to start. It's better for who? So it's not better for my daughter that's going to experience it in the mall because it's going to be the first time she experiences
it.
So it's better for me. So I get to look and say it was better than when my dad immigrated to the United States in 1960.
Yeah, I'd get that.
He couldn't drink out of the same water fountain when he landed as a white guy. I can drink out of the same water fountain as you guys. But I didn't know. I never lived that.
Yeah.
So when he was like, oh, things are better. I'm like, oh, that really hurt my feelings when they called me the N-word as I was, you know, or I can't. When I dated, I won't say her name, and I went to pick her up at prom, knocked on her door, and her father opened the door and Tucker, Georgia looked at me and said, you're at the wrong house. And I was like, oh, no, I'm Carlos. Like, and then I hear her upstairs go, Daddy. And I'm like, oh, so Dad, I know that you didn't drink out of the same water fountain.
Jeez.
But when that man looked me in the eye and would not let his daughter go to prom with me because I was black, it hurt me just as much, even though it's better. And then when Sayana has whatever experience she has, it's going to be better, but it's going to hurt. She's not going to know what better is.
Yeah, that's right.
She's
right.
And so, it's better. But man, better's not it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
right. Yeah.
And I don't even know why I want to ask that question.
Well,
I think I just want it to be better.
All my friends ask the same thing. Like, dude, like things are better. We had a black president. but right. things are better.
Well, and right? I think that maybe the bad possible outcome of yes. that question and getting a answer that's like, yeah, it's getting better, is yeah. is sort of the global thing that maybe we all felt in 08, totally. Where it's like, okay, we're good now.
Yeah, totally. Like, look at this.
Yeah.
Obama, you know, like, wow, racism is over.
It's over.
It is over, you know.
I think too, I mean, you know, we don't have to talk about this, but I do think it matters. I think one of the things that's so helpful when you have a Christian worldview,
yeah,
it's not hopeful, but I think it's helpful, is
yeah.
if you really believe the human heart is what it is,
yes.
this doesn't get reconciled
right.
before
right.
Yeah. No, Jesus totally. Coming back. And so, yeah. and I mean, that's not.
It's not to like give an excuse or like, yeah.
But I think it at least gives some operating structure around
totally.
What you just said.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. this is, human hearts are dark and simple. Yep. And, you yeah. know, there's this, just, this is what we do. But while, like, to John, as a part of me as a white guy, I'm just like, man, I just want this to be better.
I know.
Can this be better?
Yeah.
Can we just make this better?
Yeah.
And so you just want to hear your black friends look at you and be like, bro, I had a day without racism. And you're like, a day? And they're like, it was a good
yeah. Oh, no, it is. I still, if we, I mean, this was 2 weeks ago, we go on a family walk. Family's getting smaller because kids are getting older, but with my son, and we're kicking the soccer ball, and Heather's with us, and in my own neighborhood, I don't know my neighbors, and I kick the soccer ball and it rolls into someone's yard, and I go running, and my wife literally stops me. Hey, let Lasai go get that.
Good night.
Because that's something that we don't have, you know, that...
In your
that
neighborhood.
In my neighborhood. In my own neighborhood. But we didn't know this house. Yeah. And Heather's like, just let Losiah, like, he's 17-year-old Korean kid. Like, it's just maybe better than if you go in the... And so, like, again, it's better, but I still have to think about this.
Good
things,
night.
You know? So, yeah.
That's the thing. I feel like, you know, and last, to put it in a bow, I think that was the grace that... my friends gave me in that season was just to be read in a little bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think for me, learning those things, I was like, how can you not have empathy
yeah.
when you hear daily, hourly? I mean, one of the most fascinating ones, and every single one of my black friends agreed.
Yeah.
One of my buddies said, oh, when I go, I mean, he's 55.
Yeah.
Is that right? 50. He said, when I go to any restaurant.
Uh-huh.
I immediately count the black people.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's like, anywhere that I go that has a mass of people.
Yep.
I've just like, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Got a couple.
Totally.
Got a couple. And yeah. I was like, for real. He's like, yeah. that, and he's like, it's subconscious at this
yeah.
point. It's
just, yeah.
am I good? Is yeah, this totally. Like, if this goes sideways.
Yep.
And I was like, that's your life. He's like, yeah, that's bro. That's, he's like, yeah. we're just, that's the surface.
Sure. Yeah.
But you know, to your point about yeah. not running the yard, there are these things that I think, as white people,
uh-huh.
we just so don't think about. Forget right. taking for granted. We just, it's not even on the.
Yep.
I'm not, that's, I have a life where I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like yeah. I do in the richer neighborhoods.
Yeah. yeah.
Be careful because I'm like, oh, he's here to help with landscaping. He doesn't look like he fits here. But, you know, not,
yep. Yep.
not anything. There's yep. just really not many moments in my life that I have to think about that.
Sure. Which is why it's important to have these conversations.
Yes, that's
yeah.
exactly
yeah,
right.
I'm grateful that you guys are having it because a lot of people hear it and go, huh. Yeah, yeah, I haven't thought about that.
That's
yeah.
and that's it.
Which is a, yeah. That's huge.
That's it.
That's
it.
Really
huge right
it,
there.
Man. That is
yeah.
it.
Because I think if you sit down as any kind of person, just for 1 minute, like people listening right now,
yeah.
if you haven't heard this,
yeah.
just take, maybe pause it for 30 seconds and go, how would I feel if I was in my own neighborhood
yeah.
and my wife looked at me as I'm about to run? I don't care what color you are.
Right, yeah.
It stops you, but I'm really speaking to white people.
Yeah.
And goes, hey, maybe don't run in that yard.
Yeah. Let me go get it. Let
you'd be like,
go get it.
Well,
yeah.
why can't I just run in a yard?
Yeah.
Well, because they may see
yeah.
you as a threat
yeah.
because of this color of your skin.
Yeah.
It'd be like, well, that would feel very unnerving. And again, that is yeah. the, there's an iceberg
and also
tip
acknowledge that yeah. you can't even, I, like as yeah. you're describing this, yeah. I'm like, I can't jump in there.
Right.
I can't, you know, I can try my best to get that on a conceptual level.
Sure.
But all that comes with it, and, you know, yeah. 49 years of walking around in yeah. your skin, you know.
Yeah.
That's why these conversations are so powerful. Just hearing
absolutely.
A little bit, a couple anecdotes that make you think.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And you're the right guy to do it because you have the charisma and the thick skin.
Sure.
To yeah. be able to
I always
to
feel bad,
that.
Though. Like, I mean, John and I always laugh. We're like,
oh, great, we've got one of our black friends or Hispanic. Somebody's coming to the pod, and we're like, oh, you know what we're going to do. And yeah. I'm like, I can't help it.
So especially in 2020, we were
Are
you?
Yeah.
You don't have to do this.
Right, yeah,
have
yeah.
you been doing this all morning, and now we're
your 300th white
person? Are we white friend number 37 yeah. today? It's a, yeah, just kind of, what's your question?
There's a queue to your front door. People, I'm number 320. Say, come on in. You're going to ask the same
question. That is what it felt like in 2020. That is for sure.
You're just handing out, like... pamphlets.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my your question's in here. I promise you.
It's totally.
Oh my gosh.
No, but speaking of your charisma,
yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah,
and your people skills and all that kind of stuff. Tony's story on paper is a moving story, but it requires somebody like you with your skills
sure.
to tell that story to yeah. people and really mobilize and motivate people.
Yeah.
I'm curious as a dad.
Yeah.
How does that superpower? Because it's a superpower in the world.
Yeah.
What effect does it have in the home?
Yeah. You know, it actually has a big effect. And my wife is very grateful for that superpower.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, she was, you know, I was a touring musician while my kids were really little, and then started speaking and was gone a lot. And, but I am, as my kids got older and turned into teenagers, and the attitude started coming in, like I did become all the skill set that I use on social media and to tell stories and all the things I was using every day at home. Like we'll go real specific. My son, my 17-year-old son right now, like I have actually had to step in and really take over a lot of what my wife and him were just butting heads. Mm. And I said, hey, let me, I know I don't know really anything about his homeschool situation or anything. Let me just kind of try to come in here. And I talk to him differently. I just kind of, you know, my wife would say it's a skill set. She's like, I don't have the empathy you do. I don't have the, you know, and that's what he needs in this season of mm-hmm. his life. And so, yeah, I think in the home, it is helpful. It's been fun to watch my kids now, start to do what I do, like start to in their friend groups and in their, you know, they're seeing the outcasts, they're seeing the ones that, you know, all their friends are, maybe the ones that are left out, and I'm watching them go after them, chase after the, I mean, my daughters are literal supermodels. They're, you know, 20 and 21, in Nashville, like they're just influencers on TikTok and outfits of the day and all this stuff. And to watch them, and they've got all these people Googling over them and their skills and their beauty, to watch them specifically chase after the outcasts every day. Like, no, who's the one that's left out? Who's the one? And man, just as a dad, like, mm. oh my God, I could cry just talking about it right mm-hmm. now. Like, to watch them get that and to catch that from me is something I'm just so proud of. You know, yeah. So.
How do you deal? We were talking about this before. One of the things that I'm really interested with the space that you're in, you know, social media influence, yeah. whatever you want to call it. And now they're kind of like, I was looking on your account, and I mean, they've got followers,
yeah.
like your daughters, which is yeah. as a dad, it's got to be like mildly terrifying.
Sure, no,
right?
It definitely,
especially with cute daughters.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, you're like,
definitely terrifying.
What is that? How do you lead that? Like, I mean, that may sound cheesy, but like, how do you father that? How
yeah.
do you kind of look at them and go, "Hey, like, I'm in that space. I know it well."
Yeah.
What do those conversations look like with them?
The conversations are more, they're more about them than they are about the followers. It's more about, you know, I just want to make sure that they are as a dad, I'm just kind of being a protector. So I'm looking at things. I'm like, hey, baby, like you accidentally put your like location on that last, you know, story. Like, can we not? And oh, I did,
yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
like I'm looking at that stuff right away. But then also like I'm just watching them, and they actually have this relationship with social media that is different than the one I have. Like, I'm a storyteller. Right. So like that is what I do. It's what I did. You know, everything I've done has always been telling a story. They're not telling stories on their socials. And so they're using it. And they're watching their platforms grow. And, you know, my daughter has no shame. Hey, Dad, can you tag me? You know, like as she's, you know, doing, like she was on tour with me and she's doing outfits of the day every day. And she's like selling. She's got, I don't know, some account with some sell your clothes thing. And she's making a lot of money doing that stuff. And so she sees it as a business. Like they really do.
Yeah.
I feel like more than I do see this as like a business. And I just have to make sure that And I guess I don't have to make sure because I feel like they're doing a really good job. They, like my daughter Sienna, deletes her Instagram every day, and she reinstalls it when she wants to post something. And then she and I did not ask her to do that. So she literally deletes her social media. She deletes her TikTok, then has to sign back in with her username and password. When, so whenever I see her post something, I know that she's reinstalled it, typed in her stuff, and then re-deleted it.
Jeez. Okay, Louise.
So I'm curious because I have two daughters who are 10 and almost 8.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
All this
real
stuff.
Quick.
Does she do that because the conversation and the zeitgeist is, hey, social media is, you know, has some negative effects. So this is one route that you can go. Or is it, and I don't want to get too personal with her, but, or is it that she's already felt that firsthand.
Yeah.
And so now she's like, if I want to be healthy.
Yep. It's that.
Yeah.
She has 100% felt it.
Yeah.
And so she's like, this isn't good for me.
She's felt the sting of it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
This isn't
that's
good for
great.
Me.
That's great.
This isn't, and so I need to do something. And so, you know, so like, as much as people are concerned about our kids and their whatever, like, you know, you smoke long enough, you're going to get lung cancer. You're going to know, oh my God, I got to change my, you know, like they're going to feel the stings of,
that's a great
of
word.
Too much,
that's
you know?
A really
so
good
like,
word.
I think sometimes we're like freaking out, like, oh my God, they're going to be addicted. Well, they're going to feel addicted and that's not a good feeling. And so they're going to do something about it.
That's right. I love that. Yeah. I've never heard that take.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
well,
a great take.
I've never actually said that take.
You didn't know that was smoking?
I'm sorry.
It's terrible for you.
It is bad. You're saying.
Yeah.
A lot of things are adding up right now that make a lot of sense now.
No, but yeah. No, I think that is, we don't give them the credit they deserve for
Well, too, it's easy. Right. It's easy for me to buy into like the overprotective dad thing.
Yep, yep.
Where it's like, there's a lot of life they're just going to figure out because things suck.
Yeah, you know totally.
I mean? They don't need me coming in and going, hey, you're going to feel like this weird weight in your soul.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I think I know that.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't like that. So what's doing that? I'm just going to take it off my phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's amazing. She has the wherewithal.
Yeah.
I'll tell you just sidebar, which we don't talk about. Yeah. Somebody was speaking to how, and John, I don't know if we've even talked about this, how the new move with that younger generation is to see social media platforms as businesses.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is fascinating. I forget who said that. One of my smarter friends that lives in that space was like, oh, yeah, dude, no, the new movement with all social media has gone from recreational and fun to literally monetization.
Absolutely.
Even the funny accounts, even things you're like, they're like, no, man. Like, I'm either trying to sell shirts, I'm trying to get you to come to shows. I'm
100%.
It's crazy to me.
100%.
Because, you know, for us, the beginners that it was like, oh, it's me and my family on the beach, whatever. But, like, the younger generations really are coming in and going, exactly like you're talking. Sure, I'm posted, but hey, like, get a little click over there and get some shorts.
Totally. You know? Like, they're not everything that, and, you know, I'm surprised I am on her close friends list, but I'll see my daughter's close friends. And her close friends' posts on Instagram are what I would normally post on my public account.
Yeah.
So, last night, she's like, Saturday night pickleball, or whatever night it was last night, pickleball. It's like just her and her boyfriend, and they're playing pickleball, but it was on her close friends list.
Yeah.
She would
it's
never.
Almost like it's more like LinkedIn for them.
Yes, but on her regular one, it's her outfit of the day. Here's my RK style link. Yeah. Here's the, you know, and that's what's on the public
Isn't that
side.
Fascinating.
It's crazy. Whereas me, I'm like, hey, look, I'm da 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 da. You know,
which is kind of encouraging.
Yeah,
because if
totally.
They can see it as that, it's less like my identity is tied up in it.
Right.
It's more like a vehicle to be used.
Absolutely.
And then the close friends thing becomes like where, you know, this is where my friends can interact and we'll talk about things.
Yep.
That gives me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, your daughters are 21, 20.
21, 19, almost 20.
19 20. And then 17-year-old son.
Yep.
So what would you say now are the challenges for you as a dad?
Yeah.
Two of them are out of the house?
No, they're all three in the house.
Oh, they're all three in the house.
For another month.
Nice.
Yeah, the 21-year-old's engaged. So she will be she's getting married in April, next April.
Okay.
So she'll definitely be out of the house.
You might get another roommate.
Hell no. The 19-year-old is moving out in August. Just apartment with girlfriends and, you know, going to go do that. And then the 17-year-old, we would love to get out as soon as possible. So that would be amazing. So I'm literally going to – two of them in the next 6 months will be
– I've said this before, but I only keep saying it because it's such a surprise to me.
Yeah.
But you can speak to this from experience.
Sure.
It is so easy in our season of life with kids where you're like, every moment.
Yeah.
Just, do you remember when they were just little babies? And like,
totally.
oh, he just, remember he couldn't do that 3 weeks ago, and now he's doing. It's every moment is like, I mean, in fact, it is almost all that my friends post that are our age with our kids' ages. Yep. So, you know, we're 11, 9, and 6. Yep. They're between. It's about, like, savor the time.
You're literally a one decade separate from where
I'm at.
Yep.
Every single parent, like our friends at church, you, when they have those, that they're like, we just, let's get this going. Like, we love you, let's get it. And so it's such a fascinating, because right now it's about capture the moment.
Yeah.
Only the size for so long. I just never want them to grow, stay the same age.
Well, because my motivation for that is that I'm afraid I'm going to get to your spot, Carlos, and be like, oh, it went by too fast. Yeah, like, I wasn't even paying attention.
But you will say that.
Yeah, there's no fear of it.
That's going to happen.
But slash what you're saying, which is like, also, like, let's get on.
Also, let's
get on.
Also,
I kind of hope I feel that way.
Well, here's the part that you're going to love that you're not going to know that you love. Like we, our Heather and I both are surprised that our favorite season was 15 to 18.
Wow.
When they're kind of driving now, they got jobs, they have friends, and suddenly we found our house every single night was filled. That I come home from a work trip and this is not an exaggeration, 20 cars parked in front of my house.
Jeez.
And I walk into my house and I don't know this dude in my fridge. And he's like, oh, hey, Mr. Whitaker. And they're just in the backyard, they're playing PlayStation downstairs. And I'm like watching them grow into adults, and they want to be around us.
Yeah,
and they
want to
be
great.
With us.
That
and so that's
a little more like, it's not exactly, but it's a little more like it, touché. Yeah. Roommates, a little bit. I mean, obviously, you're still parents.
Yeah.
But it's not quite as.
So now we're still in that season where there's just, it's our house is kind of the hub for where everything happens. And then they all kind of, they meet there and then they all go out or whatever it is. And man, we just love it. Like this season of don't dread your kids getting older.
Yeah.
It just gets better.
That's
a good
word.
It just is.
How do you make your house that house?
Yeah. You know, I
PlayStation.
Feed them PlayStation. and honestly, look, again, I go back to eyes. What I do with looking at people that don't like me on the internet, sending them videos. Look your kids' friends in the eyes and let them know that you see them.
Wow.
And they will not want to go anywhere else. And when my kids are like, no, I don't want to go to my house, they want to come because they know, oh, your mom and dad, they see me.
Yeah.
And man, the amount of dudes that have come to my house without my daughters aren't even there. And, you know, they're living in Paris. They went to Paris over in January, February, March. And they're still, their boyfriends were coming over. Their guy friends were coming over like, hey, Mr. Ritter, can we talk about this or whatever? And like, they just feel safe, you know, it just became a safe place. And so,
that's so beautiful.
We just tell people, I tell people all the time, feed them, make sure that every meal your text never going like, hey, who wants to come over for dinner? Food, again, all the other stuff. Like I think whatever, like when 13 video games are important, but I'm telling you food and just seeing them and them feeling safe, they're going to want to be there. And so if their friends want to be at your house, your kids will want their friends are going to want to be at your house way more than your kids. And we actually don't have like we don't have all the fun stuff. My kids have friends whose parents have a lot of money that have pools. Yeah. We don't have a pool, have all these things. They still are coming over to our house, you know.
That reminds me of this. I'm going to butcher it, but it's something that Amy just told me recently about that she read where it's like when your kids start to get a little bit older, one of the most important factors is the adults in their lives who are not you.
Oh,
as
yeah,
a
yeah, yeah. Yes,
so
absolutely.
Whoever they're spending their time around, if it's a neighbor or a coach or whatever, like that plays a really big role in the teenage years.
Absolutely.
Especially.
Yeah. No,
it
I
does.
Agree.
It, I mean, you know, again, that's where, not to toot this horn too much, but that's where church is such a big deal.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, you really do get to sort of pick, quote unquote, the people that your kids are going to grow up with, the parents your kids grow up with and be able to kind of go, I like these people.
Yeah.
I mean, Annie is, you know, as we think about schools, she's always been like, and I disagree with her so much until I didn't because she was right. But I was like, it's about the kids. Like, what are the good kids? She's like, it's about the parents, Dave.
Yeah.
It is about the parents. And I remember I would always be like, no, I mean, because they're not hanging up the parents. She's like, I'm telling you. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, it is. Yeah. You want to make sure you're somewhere where you can be like, the kids are going to change.
Totally.
The parents are the ones that they're going to be, you know, that are the static. They're the consistent ones, you know.
That's good. If you don't want your
home to be the hub. Don't look your kids' friends in the
eyes. No, don't look them in the eyes.
That's what I'm hearing.
Don't let them feel loved, and don't feed them.
If you don't want to buy all that food.
That's a three for three, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So we have pizza for me and the kids.
Yeah, that's it.
Everyone else here.
Totally.
You guys can go get your food and come back. And also, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking right above over, you.
Right, the right just above.
Always above.
Just
always
right always above. At the top of your head. So I'm curious, as we kind of wrap this whole thing up, I'd be really curious to hear what, for those who, you know, have younger kids like ours, and you may have spoken this a little bit already, but what would be the advice that you've already done two, one being sure. what you just said, two being, you know, to that these, the season we're coming into is so fun, right?
It's absolutely. Not just don't about, don't be scared of it.
Don't be scared of it.
Yeah.
But like, what would you say for the people who have the younger kids, you yeah. being where you are with your kids and their ages?
Yeah.
Or what would you have told, maybe the better question is, what would you have told yourself?
Yeah.
Like if you could go back now, you know, when the kids were young, was yeah. there something that you needed to hear that would be helpful?
I think that, I mean, thinking back to my kids and, you know, I Heather, you know, my wife will tell me like, you were a great dad. Mm. Like you were like, I'm like, am I not anymore? You know, but she's like, you were really great. Like you were there, like you were fun. You were consistent. I think though, I spent way too much time, honestly, scared of them growing up.
Yeah.
Like I it was a big fear for me. Mm. I just was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, and I just wouldn't do that. Like I just, you know, I'm seeing all these posts, like you only have 18 summers with your kids. I'm like, really? Like who's said, my daughter's 21 years old and I just spent 2 weeks in France with her and like, and she wants to, you know, we're going on all these trips together and like, no, like you don't get,
yeah,
just
that's
get
a great
18,
word. Yeah. That's a great word.
You know, summers with your kids. I just disagree with that. Like, I just think that, it just don't be scared of them growing up.
Well,
know?
It definitely, you saying this, I've never thought about this literally yeah. until right now. It sticks to a narrative that is, which is kind of like the great American narrative.
Sure.
Well, I mean, as a white guy, I can say I have no sure, clue yeah. what that's like. You know, but I think, you know, be it in movies or books or yeah. TV, gosh, sitcoms, like, yeah. I just want to leave. Yeah, yeah. Dude, get out of here, kid. Yeah. It's this narrative sure. that's kind of like 18, just yep. get out of the house. We yeah. need our space. You yeah. know, and I don't hate my parents and they're yeah. keeping me down. I want to yeah. drive the Camaro, Dad.
Don't you get
it out of my out of my
totally,
garage.
Totally.
And so I think that's a weird father son.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Timbre of voices. But but you know what I'm saying? It sticks to a very clear, be it every movie you ever
yes.
saw,
yes.
Ferris Bueller to whatever, of like the parents of the bad guys.
Yeah. Kids.
So you got them in this prison for 18 years till they're gone forever.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's beautiful to hear you say that because that even helps me because I struggle with that. I mean,
yeah.
I think John and
oh,
I both.
Totally.
With kids this age, it's about keeping. It's
yes.
just like you got your claws in this experience going, oh, no.
Well, and also, you know, like I mean, this is a whole other podcast conversation, but the American dynamic of what family is in America
yes.
is completely
yes.
inconsistent with what the rest
yes.
of the planet
well
does.
Said.
Right.
Well
said.
And
right.
so, you know, like we ship our kids off to college at 18 years old.
Yeah.
And they're gone. And it's like, but where else does that happen? It doesn't happen anywhere
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not like we've kept our kids in our house till, but we gave them the opportunity to go and like, hey, you don't have to go to college if you don't
yeah.
want to.
Yeah.
Like if, and really, well, everyone else, yeah, but if you don't like school, don't go to college.
Yeah.
Like you can
yeah.
live here, you can do whatever. And so it just, we gave our kids the choice and they chose to stay.
Yeah.
And in a healthy way, you know,
yeah.
like they're, and they're, yeah, they're moving out and it's going to break my heart just like it will every dad mm-hmm. when their daughters move away or whatever. But, I don't know, man. I just think that again, a whole conversation about family structure and the decisions we've made in America with
yeah.
family just doesn't look the same. I mean, then when you start talking about your grandparents and elderly, like I mentioned this, you know, this little teaser for my next book, but I went and lived with the Amish for 3 weeks last year. And this for a future book of mine, but I want to do this experiment. I'm talking about don't stand on issues, walk with people. Well, let me go walk with the most conservative human beings in America. And I lived with them. And man, there's a lot I disagree with, but the way they do family is beautiful. Mm. You know, like the way they take care of their parents and the way they, mm-hmm. it's just how it's supposed to be, you know? Mm. And so, I don't know. I think,
that's,
you know, look at your viewpoint of what you think your family's supposed to look like when your kids, turn 18. And I don't know, maybe put that in a bucket and maybe like doubt yourself a little bit and be like, maybe it doesn't have to look
yeah,
like
I love that.
Family.
I love yeah. that. That's great.
Yeah.
God, that's good.
Yeah. It is so interesting. These sort of like bullet points of life
yeah.
that we don't even realize yeah. are uniquely American.
Sure.
Like yeah. one of them being like retirement. Okay. At yep. 59 yep. and a half,
yep.
we're going to retire and it's going to be,
yeah.
we're going to play golf. And
right.
And I mean, if you took a survey yeah. of a bunch of 61-year-olds, like how many of them experience it exactly like that?
Right.
There's just
right.
a myriad of things that could, yeah. you know, mess that up.
Yeah.
You know, and in the looking into the future with my girls, I think even though I'm like, I love my teenage years. I love
sure,
my parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a great relationship. Like it was great.
Yeah.
But there's still that like, I guess it's because it's unknown. And
sure.
it's like, I don't know why it has that that negativity, that teenage,
yeah.
it's going to be like this, Dave,
yeah.
like what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, it's built in there.
Yeah, no, man, it's going to be sweet.
Well, it's hard. Yeah. I mean, oh, gosh, Jesus is like, can we talk about this a little bit? How about we not worry about things before they happen?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they may not happen.
Totally.
Right.
And
exactly.
I'm like, yeah, but.
That's true.
Yeah. I've seen some movies.
Well, and I've been, you know, like my oldest, 10 and a half years, she's the greatest.
Yeah.
And, but for some reason, when I think of her as a 16-year-old, I'm yeah. picturing some other
yeah,
human
other girl.
I know. No, no, dude.
That lived with another family.
Yeah.
Shit
yeah. Why yeah. is that? Why yeah. can't I, like,
yeah. Well,
think about
I'll tell you why. Not that this may not be why for you, but there is a truth that, you know, your kids will go through a rough, you know, hormonal season in their
yeah.
life where, I mean, all three of our kids, like we went through like, oh, we really don't like them right now. And uh-huh. for one of them, it was from 13 to 14. The other one, it was 17 to 18. The other one, it was, and they all came out of it. But yeah, things do shift. They do turn into different humans and then they come back, you know? And so it is, yeah, there is a little bit of that teenage thing. Like, yeah, it's, there's new things you're gonna have to deal with as a parent. But, I think that's some of it too.
Yeah,
yeah.
that's yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Then they never come back. That's the thing. It's like once
oh, sure.
they start changing.
Oh, sure, yeah. Then they
never come back.
Send
yeah.
them into the yep. pasture yep. and wave them goodbye. Okay, so we're doing some rapid to wrap this whole thing up.
Oh, love it.
We're gonna do some rapid fires.
Yep.
Okay. First question. Here we go. This you got to answer these as fast as you can.
Okay.
Within reason.
Yeah.
Would you rather give? I love this question. So it's a giant question. Would you rather give a 10-minute talk 10 minutes from now? Or a 45-minute talk 45 minutes from now.
10-minute talk.
I love you knew that.
I thought it was going to be the opposite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I've just heard that the shorter talks
are harder
They are,
but I've got a good one in my pocket right now.
Yeah, you've got, that's kind of a cheat. This is what you do.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. What is one of the worst live moments you've ever had?
Oh, my gosh. Probably peeing backstage and my mic was on.
No, you yeah. did the Naked Gun.
Yeah,
oh,
totally. It was
my
about
gosh.
But the mic was on.
It's like a rite of passage for a
yep.
speaker.
I mean, like toilet flushing, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
Oh
yeah.
my God. Okay.
It's great.
I love this question. If the whole world could read one chapter of one of your books,
oh.
which chapter would it be?
Oh my gosh. It's going to be the second chapter of Kill the Spider.
Wow.
Which was three books ago. Where it tells a story of what a spider is, what a cobweb is. And I say a spider is an agreement you've made with a lie and a cobweb is a medicating behavior. And I think that story
Good night.
Gives a lot of people
I've heard you talk on that. Yeah. You've said that and it's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. If there was a moment in your life that could have gone viral, what would this moment be?
Oh, that could have gone viral? I've had a lot of moments go viral. So.
That you could choose. Like, you could actually go, that's the one.
Oh,
I really?
Ooh, this is a great question. I've not thought of this one. Yes, I know. So, I'm going to sound like a flex here, but I got to sing for President Obama.
Dang.
And this is 2014.
How deep was the beat?
I was in a suit. I was in a suit, but I did have the chin strap Daughtry beard.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
And then I got to meet with him in the Red Room of the White House.
Nice.
Whoa.
And so he came walking in, and shook his hand. He goes, "Carlos, great job." And then I got to tell him about my dad, who was an immigrant to the United States. I said, "My dad, black man, immigrated to the United States. He's so proud of me today. I just, you know, he's like, let's call him."
No.
Yes.
No.
And I got to call my dad, and President Obama goes, Dr. Whitaker, and my dad lost it. And
that's unbelievable.
Because he was waiting for me to call to tell him how it went. He was
right.
Because he told me all the time growing up that you're going to have dinner with the president one day. You have to learn your manners. And I was like, Dad, I'm not having dinner. I had breakfast with him. And then he called him and he said, you'd be so proud of your son. And I was like, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President.
He's like, Carlos, your Obama impression is terrible.
Yeah.
Just talk to me. How did it go?
Oh, my
gosh. So that was a moment that, like, it just, it happened. Like, no one filmed it. No one, whatever. Yeah. But, like, man,
golly.
That the fact that he let me do that was awesome.
That's amazing.
Okay, last question. Yeah. Here we go. If you wrote a book about fatherhood, what would the title be?
Oh, so you think you know how to be a dad.
That's amazing.
There it is.
So you think you know how to be a dad.
That's it.
Thank you for being on.
All right, man.
This is great, man.
This has been awesome.